Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Resilient Self. We're here to talk about the human experience, mental health, wellness, relationships, and of course, how we bounce back when things don't go as planned. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Resilient Self. I'm Chris Neal, and I'm here with you today to talk about empathy, specifically how to go next level with your empathy. So we'll talk a little about what empathy really means. It's one of those terms that gets thrown around, but then we're going to talk about how, even if you have a deep understanding of empathy, how you can actually take that to the next level. Generally speaking, and there's all kinds of little wrinkles that we'll do deep dives into a lot of those in subsequent episodes, but let's just start with a basic understanding of empathy. And empathy is an attunement to the emotions of the other. And when I say other, think of that as a proper name. It's a humanizing understanding of the person that we're sharing space with. So when we have an attunement to the emotions of that person, it creates a deep understanding for us. Now, why does this matter? Aside from just wanting to be a nice person and be able to interact with other people on a basic emotional level, I think the first thing is it does is it fosters curiosity. When we are attuned to the emotions of the other, then that naturally leads us to ask more questions, sometimes make empathic guesses. Hey, I think this is what I'm hearing. That sounds like this is where you're at. Am I understanding you right? What am I missing? What else do I need to know about you? And so empathy, and it's so powerful when we're in conflict resolution, when we can start with, hey, we don't feel like we're on the same page. So let's start with asking you to help me understand what's it like to be you right now, giving that person space to do that, right? To explain that to you. And that's deeply related to compassion. I would argue that empathy is really a prerequisite for compassion. If we understand compassion as, again, this is one of those multifaceted, you could define it in so many ways. I was reading earlier today, rereading part of a book called The Compassionate Mind by Paul Gilbert. That's one of my favorites, and he is one of my favorite authors. You can head over to our website, theresilientself.com. Don't forget theresilientself.com. Check out the book list on there. We've got links to that. And so if you're curious about any of the books that I recommend on here or the other resources, we will definitely have links. But The Compassionate Mind, he really does a lot of interesting and deep dives into compassion. But let's just start by compassion being an awareness of suffering and desire to help alleviate it. We can't do that if we don't understand what's going on with the other person. Now, a big part of compassion is holding space for the other person. So this is where the things get kind of cloudy. They get very interwoven, empathy and compassion. But if you think about the power of just sitting with someone and saying, hey, no matter how you are, no matter where you're at right now, I'm just going to hold space for you, which is a humanizing thing to do for someone, which is just critically important in supporting another human. So I'm gonna hold space for you, and I'm just gonna be open to understanding and deepening my understanding to where you're at and what's important to you. And that is just, like I mentioned, it's absolutely central to supportive relationships and conflict resolution. Now, it's interesting, the understanding the emotions of the other, there's actually a biological function. I think in the early 90s somewhere, they discovered these things called mirror neurons. And mirror neurons are the things in the brain that help us perceive emotions in other humans, maybe other animals as well, but certainly in other humans. It's really critical in the development of babies. And so that's why when we have these, you know, there's all these natural things that we do that we don't even think about that actually have a biological or psychological reason that we're compelled to do them. Little things like, you know, the tendency to bounce a baby on your knee that actually has a physical benefit for the baby, as I understand it. So when we have this tendency to actually kind of get up close to a baby, and we smile at them, and then we get excited when they smile back. And that's a part of the baby's development. And part of what we're doing is developing mirror neurons in those babies, as I understand. I'm not a neuroscience expert, but that's kind of my basic understanding. And if there's something you want me to know about that, hey, reach out, let me know, because I think it's pretty cool stuff. And so if you're interested in empathy, a lot of this you may already know. But let's talk for a second about what empathy is not. I would say that the most important thing that empathy is not, and sometimes people say, well, empathy is the ability to feel what someone else is feeling. Having someone else's emotions become your emotions, kind of like emotional tofu. You know how tofu kind of takes on the flavor of whatever it's being cooked in? If you put it in chili, it tastes like chili. If you put it in stir fry, it tastes like your stir fry. I would say that taking on the emotions of others, at least in a consistent way, if that's kind of how you roll, that's not empathy. Okay, that's codependency. So I do think that empathy requires us to step into the emotions of the other, to be attuned to those, but we also don't necessarily have to take on the emotions of the other. Now, obviously, if you're sitting with someone who's very upset, you're going to feel sad. You're going to feel, if someone's very happy, you're going to feel, we're not robots, right? We're humans. And so we are naturally going to absorb some of that and reflect some of that in the people. But you can be your own judge of whether the way that works for you is productive and healthy or not. If that sounds a little too close to the mark for your comfort level, hey, check out the upcoming episodes on codependency, because I do a lot of work in codependency and I find it very interesting work. If you consider that sometimes, you know, your emotions are completely driven by the emotions of others, check out the podcast and we'll see if that helps you a little bit. One of the really important things I think it's important to remember is that empathy is a skill. Just like compassion. Compassion is a skill. And so by definition, we can learn how to do it and we can improve at it. You can also have a practice of empathy where you try to ingrain empathic understanding and attunement of others into your personality and just the way you meet the world. If you have this desire, or maybe your career, maybe you're in a helping profession of some sort, and you feel like empathy is a critical part of your just being able to do what you do, then it is something we can get better at. And, you know, sometimes people in helping professions can get what we call empathy fatigue. And I think the way we get empathy fatigue is those boundaries kind of get blurred a little bit. And sometimes we're not using empathy, we're doing other things. It does take energy, it takes focus, and it takes practice. And so how do we practice empathy? I think it starts with a simple question, either explicit or just kind of in guiding your interactions with someone or just even your observations. Hey, what's it like to be you right now? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And how can I have an understanding of that? I think this is really useful in conflict resolution. I think sometimes just having an attunement to where they're at and acknowledging that can be a really important first step. One of the things we'll talk about is Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication. Again, hit the website for that if you're curious. I think that's a really useful way to conceptualize human interaction, and it was developed to help resolve conflict. And I think it can be really effective in doing that. So nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg. But part of it is just empathic understanding, empathic guessing. You know, hey, this is what I'm picking up from you. Is this where you're at? No, that's not where I'm at. Okay, well, let me know. Where are you at? I would offer that it is just a psychologically useful thing in many cases to sit and just wonder, how am I right now? Where are my emotions in this moment? Guys, the world we live in, it's so easy just to kind of pinball our way through our day. We just kind of use our emotional state as a filter for how we react rather than really understanding where we're at and responding with awareness of where we're at and hopefully some understanding of where the other is. So one of the things you can do, and this is why I'm a big fan of meditation, is it gives you opportunity to have some active non-doing, to just sitting. And also trying to have some non-judgmental observation about how am I doing right now? What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? Are those emotions I'm experiencing, am I feeling those emotions somewhere in my body? Are they resulting in tension? Do I feel something somewhere? Do I feel a burning in my gut? Do I feel something that feels like a block of something very heavy in my chest? So sometimes even when it feels like there's something emotional going on, sometimes the brain won't let us find that emotional place into that. Sometimes we start with the physical. And so if I'm really, really hyperactivated or overwhelmed, instead of saying, okay, what are my emotions? If you sense that that's too overwhelming or you don't know and it's frustrating you, maybe start with, okay, where am I feeling points of tension or stress in my physical body. Okay, what's that feel like? Okay, and then you breathe into that, which is one of the meditation practices we can do. Body scan meditations are great for this. If you're wanting to know more about these kinds of things, yep, you guessed it. Check out theresilientself.com or stick around for more episodes because we'll definitely talk about meditation and ways that that can help you in your personal journey. And so empathy for the self can be hugely powerful, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be emotions. Sometimes it can be, what are my thoughts? What are my physical feelings? And that gives us a little way into that ecosystem that then can foster some really interesting curiosity about ourselves. Friends, we hope you're enjoying all the content here at The Resilient Self. If you're wondering how you can support our work on the show, we've made it super easy. You can check out the show notes or head over to our website, theresilientself.com, and click on the link that says, Buy Me a Coffee. Now, you're not actually buying me a real cup of coffee, but through a one-time donation or an ongoing membership, you're helping with the development and production costs of the show. When you take this step, you're helping us bring the resilient self to others all over the world. So if you want to help us pay it forward, this is the easiest way. And please know that we deeply appreciate your support at any level. I promised you some discussion about next level empathy, or what I believe to be next level empathy anyway. So, okay, attunement to the experience of the other. So this idea that we somehow want to understand where the other one is at. Okay, I think it's a great goal. And sometimes we can get close or we can develop our own understandings. But I think we need to understand that we need to recognize that when you understand the experience of another, of an other, capital O, that's filtered through our own place in the world. It's filtered through our own emotions, our own biases, our own everything. Because relationships are co-created. Experiences between people are co-created, which means you're bringing something to the table too. You're not a blank slate. Even if you're a therapist or whoever, you're not a blank slate. And so when people are feeding you things, even if you're trying to be highly attuned to those, it's important to recognize that those are still being filtered through your own biases and experiences. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I'm out in my community. I live in South Texas, and let's say I'm out in the community, and I have cause to sit and have a conversation with an 80-year-old Hispanic female. I'm sitting and talking with that person, and I'm just, you know, enjoying her stories, and we're you know, trading information, or, you know, stories about our lives, or talking about whatever. And she tells me a little bit about what it's like to be her. In my middle-aged white male level of perception, I can maybe understand some of that. But when you really drill down, when you really get down to the very fundamental level, the truth is, while I may be able to appreciate and respect some of the things that she has experienced that I have not or do not, the truth is, at the fundamental level, I can never know really what it feels like to be an 80-year-old Hispanic female, because I'm none of those things. Yes, we try to be attuned to that other person, but I think next level is a deep foundational respect for the fact that there's a limit to that. You know, words fail us. I had a professor many years ago in one of my music classes who gave a lecture in a music theory class on what he called the poverty of the English language. Now, the 19-year-old version of me thought that was stupid and boring, but now I look back on it and I think it's pretty brilliant. Words fail us. There is no way for words to fully encapsulate something as complex as feeling or emotion. And I think we have to respect that. The moment you think you know someone, the moment you think you fully understand their experience, that's your cue to take a step back. That's your cue to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not the expert on you. You're the expert on you. And I'm going to try to understand. So does that mean we're just helpless? We can't fully understand? Well, no, it doesn't mean we're helpless. It means that we need to respect those things that we can and cannot really comprehend about the experience of the other. Where does that lead us? I think that leads us to compassion. I think it leads us to holding space for someone else who has a different experience with this world or with this moment than we have. And when your empathy can propel you into a place of holding space for someone else, even if it's uncomfortable space for you, recognizing that someone else has a fundamentally different experience with the world than you do. When we have that respect for someone else, I think it leads us to a very powerful place of compassion and mutual respect. Friends, I want to give a shout out to a musician named Ted Hammond. Now, Ted is the composer and producer of our theme music, and if you noticed it, it's very cool music. Ted is a terrific musician. I've been blessed to count Ted among my friends for 35 years or more, and he's just a dear friend, and he has graciously allowed us to use his music for our show. So, Ted, brother, thank you so much. I love you and appreciate you, as always. And, folks, if you like the music, I want to encourage you to check out Ted's latest album. There will be links on the website. You can find it on iTunes, and I know he's got it on some other sources as well. That's it for today. Next Level Empathy. Thanks for being with me. I hope to see you next time right here on The Resilient Self. The Resilient Self is a production of Insight Media, LLC. The information presented on the show and at theresilientself.com is intended to educate and entertain and should not be considered as legal, medical, or psychological advice or as therapy of any kind. The information presented should not be used to diagnose or treat any psychological, psychiatric, or medical condition. While we make every effort to present accurate and insightful information, the host, guests, and Insight Media LLC make no warranty that the information presented here will be applicable in your situation or location. Opinions expressed in the show do not represent those of Insight Media LLC, their ownership, or employees.